Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
92.9 Podcasts, powered by Action 24/7, Tennessee's only local legal sportsbook. Bet now at action247.com. 92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think, he'll make you laugh, he'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around, and he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parish Show.
All right, I'm here. My name's Gary Parish, speaking to you from Memphis, Tennessee. Brad Carson, Cowboy Carson,
what?
Producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day best you can. Ever own a professional basketball franchise that one of your star players is still under contract for 4 years, they never come to you and say, hey, I'm not reporting to camp next week and I'm never playing for you again, so figure it out, because it's just a tough spot to be in. I know what I'd like to do if I were the owner of the Philadelphia 76ers in response to this Ben Simmons move, but I don't know that you can actually do it, because while damaging Ben Simmons, you sure do a lot of damage to yourself as well. It's a complicated situation. We'll talk about it momentarily. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 4:20, Jeff Zilga's going to join me. Covers the NBA for USA Today. So I talked to him about this Ben Simmons story and the NBA in general. Jeff Zilga going to be here in the next segment. When I finish that, I'll take a break, come back, do four notable stories at 4:44, at which point I'll discuss four previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Aaron Rodgers led the Packers to a come-from-behind victory and cover over the Lions last night. Cost one dude with a parlay bet $727,000. So that's a hell of a Monday night. We'll spend a few minutes on that story around 4:44. The Texans will start rookie Davis Mills at quarterback Thursday night against Carolina. That was announced today. It's a reminder that no matter what, Deshaun Watson, he ain't playing for Houston this season, perhaps never again. Talk about that a little later on this hour. Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau were publicly friendly with each other today. They had dinner last night. Brooks even tweeted about it. So that's sweet in advance of the Ryder Cup. Spent a few minutes on that just before 5 o'clock, and the search for Brian Laundrie continues. He, of course, is the, quote, missing person who is believed to be responsible for the death of Gabby Petito. We'll give you the latest on that story during four notable stories at 4:44. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cocker, just like always, then I'll eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to, but I did want to start with a showdown in the NBA, and it's not between the Lakers and the Nets. That could come in the NBA Finals. Not between Kyrie and a globe. It's showdown between Ben Simmons and the Philadelphia 76ers, because Ben Simmons, the 25-year-old all-star, has drawn a line in the sand. According to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, Ben Simmons has told the Sixers he will not report to training camp next week and that he will never, ever, ever play again for Philadelphia, despite the fact that he's got 4 years and $147 million left on his contract. Philadelphia obviously does not want this. The Sixers want him to show up, play well, shoot every once in a while, increase his trade value before they deal him. But Ben Simmons has other plans. So now the question is, How will Philadelphia respond? What will the Sixers do? Will they participate in this game of chicken and drag it out? Or will they blink, buckle, and make a deal before the start of the season? Cowboy Carson, first, good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Congratulations on your
surgery. Dark studio. I forgot about the dark studio.
Yeah, I can see you, but you can't really see me. Congratulations on your St. Louis Cardinals surging, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. I wore the Cardinal hat just on your behalf.
I wear them. That's why I sit in the dark, because I got a Mets hat on. I don't want anybody to see it. Such a depressing baseball.
It's been a rough go, man.
Such a depressing baseball franchise. Cowboy Carson, what do you think Philadelphia does here?
Man.
Because we've seen these situations before, but this is even an extreme example because Ben Simmons has 4 years left on his contract, and Ben Simmons isn't saying, I don't want to be here, but I'll be here till I am, till I'm gone.
Right.
He's saying, I'm not showing up.
Yeah.
I'm not showing up. Hey, work next week. Just wanted to go ahead and let you know I'm not going to be there. And when work gets underway in the version of regular season games, want you to understand, I ain't coming to those either.
He's never playing, he says.
That's what he says.
See, if I'm the 76ers, you really don't have much choice in this except to just say, okay, you just sit, and then you got to try to figure out what you're going to do with him and deal him. Right? And then you're not going to get much.
Well, the problem is that they want a lot.
They want a lot.
And nobody is willing to give them what they want.
Right. You're going to get screwed, basically.
You're going to get pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
For multiple reasons now.
Yeah.
Once Ben Simmons tells your front office he's never playing for you again, you don't really have an incredible amount of leverage when it comes to trade talks. Now you're on the phone with Minnesota, Golden State, whomever. They know you got to do something about this. This is an untenable situation. So trade value decreases. Beyond that, Ben Simmons has never looked less like a competent basketball player than the last time we saw him in a professional basketball game. He obviously went through this stretch. He's always been a non-shooter, but that's supposed to be from the three-point line. It's not supposed to be at the rim. He famously, in the elimination game with the Sixers and Hawks that ended Philadelphia's season, passed up an open dunk in the final seconds that triggered a series of events that ended Philadelphia's season. And after that game, once the series is completely over, Joel Embiid pointed to the open dunk as a turning point in the game. You know, he was asked in a public setting, press conference, you know, what do you think went wrong? And he said, well, it started with we didn't dunk the ball. That's a direct shot at Ben Simmons. And then Doc Rivers, of course, the coach, was asked, can Ben Simmons be a championship-winning point guard in this league? And Doc said, I don't know the answer to that right now.
Yeah.
That's how bad Ben Simmons was to close this season. He's so special in other ways, but he really got in his head.
They probably should have said those things, maybe. That might have set it up a little bit.
Well, there is some thought that whatever fractured relationship existed anyway between Philadelphia and Ben Simmons was completely fractured when he felt like his best teammate and coach both very publicly threw him under the bus.
Yeah.
So your point is well taken. If that's the thing that led Ben Simmons to drawing this very hard line in the sand, then maybe you shouldn't have said those things. On the other hand, they were just telling the truth about an incredibly talented basketball player who clearly got into his head in a way that cost them an opportunity to compete for the Eastern Conference Championship. It's one thing if Ben Simmons is out there missing dunks, missing mid-range jumpers, missing three-pointers. When you refuse to shoot the ball, you got a real problem. When you're a max player slash all-star in the NBA and you won't even look at the rim to shoot, you got a real problem. And the prevailing theory on what happened with Ben Simmons is that he was so hesitant to shoot because he was so hesitant to get fouled while shooting, then have to go to the free throw line where he is horrific and was clearly in his head. The way you'd watch Giannis throughout the playoffs, airball a free throw, shake it off, take another one. Ben Simmons doesn't have whatever Giannis has in that way to shake it off.
Right.
Now let's keep playing. Ben Simmons doesn't have that. Giannis will airball two free three throws in a row, and then on the very next possession, drive and get fouled and be happy to go back to the free throw line. Go through his 14-second routine again and take another shot. Right. Ben Simmons got very uncomfortable at the free throw line, which caused him to stop shooting at all. And so I hear you. Maybe Doc and Joel shouldn't have said what they said so publicly, but my God, how insane would you be if you just watch this guy you know is talented and you know is a big part of what you're doing just shut down in such a dramatic way? Although it is interesting that clearly whatever was going on with Ben Simmons was a mental thing. It just was. And we're pretty hard on Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
His coach and his teammate. And then we get to the Olympics and Simone Biles, and we're very understanding of her. There's a dynamic there that's worth exploring sometime.
Yeah.
Like, why are we understanding of an individual athlete clearly battling a mental thing, less understanding of a team athlete clearly battling a mental thing? But perhaps that's a segment for another day. Back to this. I think you're right. They've got to tell him, fine, stay away. And then they got to get to working on a deal. Question becomes, do you fine him for every penny that you can fine him for in the meantime?
Because
this would be, if I were the owner, I would be...
I'd be hesitant to do so, in my opinion.
My instincts would be like, okay, we gave you a max contract.
Right.
We still owe you 4 years, $147 million, and we're happy to pay you to do it. Now you're telling me you're not going to show up to work? Think about that in any other employment situation. You pay somebody an incredible amount of money, and they tell you, with 4 years still left on a contract, I'm not showing up to work anymore.
Not going to go.
Like, I'm not Ben Simmons, right? And I don't have 4 years left on a contract. Yeah. But imagine if I signed a brand new contract. Yeah. We were all thrilled with the contract, and I just told you, hey, Brad, by the way, I'm not coming to work anymore. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? Like, this doesn't make sense anywhere outside of the sports world. So if I were the owner, my instincts would be like, okay, don't come to work. Well, now you're fined for missing media day. Now you're fined for missing the first practice. Now you're fined for missing the second practice. And because there is a failure to provide services clause in the CBA, they can decline to pay his salary.
Right.
His next paycheck from the Sixers is due October 1st. They do not have to send it. He's scheduled to make $33 million this year. And if they really decided, but you're not showing up, we're not trading you, and we're not paying you, they are well within their rights to do it. And if everything happened in a vacuum, that is what I would do. The problem, of course, is that he is represented by Rich Paul. And Rich Paul is arguably the most connected agent in the NBA. And I promise you, Rich Paul is telling the Sixers, if you fine Ben Simmons and then you don't pay Ben Simmons, and oh, by the way, if you don't get on the phone and try to get a deal done as quickly as possible, just understand, you will never get one of my clients again. And that's a bad spot to be in. Now, if you're Philadelphia, you could call the bluff and say, Rich, you can say whatever you want to say, but if we offer one of your clients the best contract, even if you say, well, remember what they did to Ben Simmons one time, I bet you that client's going to say, hey, that's between Ben Simmons and the Sixers. I'm signing with Philadelphia. So there's a scenario where you could tell Rich Paul, you're not going to dictate the terms of this situation, but it is obviously very risky because he's an incredibly powerful person, and agents do have a lot of weight to throw around in that league. And so I think the smartest thing for Philadelphia to do is probably tell Ben Simmons you're excused and we'll start working on a deal, and then you just take the best deal you can get. But it is more complicated given Philadelphia's situation, because this will often get compared to the James Harden situation in Houston. Multiple years left on the contract. He wanted to go. He decided to just basically stop working out.
Flaked out.
Stopped playing.
Yeah.
Wasn't playing well. And Houston just said, we can't have this in our franchise. We've got to move him.
Yeah.
So they did. The situation Houston was in, very different than the situation Philadelphia finds itself in, because the situation Houston was in was they're in a total rebuild. Like, you know, James Harden don't want to be here. Give us a bunch of picks and young players, and we're good. Philadelphia's competing. Joel Embiid is an MVP candidate who's 27 years old, very much in his prime. So you can't just go out and say, give me a bunch of picks for Ben Simmons. We don't want a bunch of picks. Give me a bunch of picks and young players. We don't want that. We're trying to win now.
Right.
Like, we clearly are losing something of value in our win now mode, having to move Ben Simmons. We want to add something that makes up for that. We'd love to add something that surpasses that. Yeah. Probably ain't doing it. So Philadelphia isn't looking for the type of deal that Houston did. I mean, I'm sure they want draft picks, absolutely. But they also want somebody.
You need rotation players somewhere in that deal.
Probably a starter somewhere right. in that deal.
Yeah.
You need somebody coming yeah. back in this trade, whether it's a two-team, three-team, whatever it is, mm-hmm. where you can look at Joel Embiid and say, hey, Ben put us in an awful spot, but we got you a
this dude.
We got you yeah. a starter. You know, you know, we're going to...
He can shoot.
Addition by subtraction. You know, we got you a shooter, yeah. whatever. There's been some interesting ones thrown around today, like does Portland try to do a deal involving C.J. McCollum mm-hmm. for Ben Simmons? I heard this one. Does Golden State try to do a deal for Ben Simmons? People keep throwing out Andrew Wiggins, right. James Wiseman. Mm-hmm. Somebody today suggested... Go try to get Draymond Green. Bring Draymond Green to play with Joel Embiid and see if that makes you a factor in the East. The question, of course, becomes would Golden State part ways with Draymond Green? I tell you this, I would.
Yeah.
For Ben Simmons, for a younger, I think at this point, better player,
yeah.
I would do it. But obviously Draymond's a big part of that organization, so there's different dynamics in play. Either way, it is the big story in sports today and one that'll dominate NBA headlines until it gets resolved one way or another. Ben Simmons has told the Philadelphia 76ers, I'm not reporting to camp next week. I'll never play for you again. Doesn't matter that I have 4 years, $147 million on the contract. If I have to forfeit all of that money, like hypothetically, Philadelphia could just say, we're never trading you. You're never playing for us. We're never paying you. You'll be a free agent in 4 years. And in the meantime, you'll make $0. Like, that is the way this could go down.
Sure.
It's not going to go down that way.
No.
That's not good for anybody.
No.
But it'll be interesting to see, how quickly Philadelphia makes a move, because all indications are, no matter how they feel, no matter how wrong they've been, you just have to do what's best from this point forward. And what's best for this point forward for you, forget Ben Simmons, is to do a Ben Simmons deal. Get the best return you can possibly get. Talk to Jeff Zilgan about it next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Aaron Rodgers was really good last night, threw 4 touchdowns, then talked about it confidently in the press conference after the game. Get into that story in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will be here a little after 5 o'clock, but right now he covers the NBA for USA Today. It's Jeff Zilgit making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by The Wing Guru, online at thewingguru.com.
So, Jeff, we got a situation in Philadelphia. Not only has Ben Simmons made it clear to the Sixers he's not showing up for training camp next week, he has said that he will never play for them again, despite the fact that he's got 4 years, $147 million left on the contract. What is Philadelphia going to do now?
Well, they're still going to take their time, Gary. Daryl Morey, the general manager there, or president of basketball operations, he's not going to make a bad deal for the sake of just making a deal to make this go away. Now, I know that the longer this goes, the more problem it creates for the Sixers, the coaches, Doc Rivers, the players in the locker room who constantly have to field questions, and no team wants that situation. But this is also a team, Gary, when you're looking at it, that feels it's a championship caliber team. And so they're not going to blow this up for the sake of this player. With that said, sometimes it is really difficult to figure out who has the ultimate leverage here, whether it's Ben Simmons with, as you mentioned, the 4 years, nearly 150 remaining, or the Sixers have the leverage. And of course, when you're talking about the way agents go these days, and Rich Paul, who's also LeBron's agent, is Ben Simmons' agent and has a lot of power, these things get real tricky. But I don't expect Simmons to be with the Sixers deep into the season, no matter how it plays out.
You mentioned that Philadelphia is a championship contender. I wonder how that changes the dynamics of the situation, because with Houston and James Harden last season, I know after it got really bad, they moved pretty quickly to get a deal done. But, yeah, you know, they didn't mind losing. Losing wasn't a thing to them because they were going to lose no matter what. Philadelphia might not can afford to be down a significant player for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 weeks, whatever. They need to win because they want to win. Does that put more pressure on Daryl to get a deal done, if not before the season, at least early in the season? Because whatever it is you are getting back, you want it back so it can help you win games so you can get the best seed you can get in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
100%, Gary. So that's why I don't think it's going to go deep into the season. And look, does it last a month? Maybe it does. And Daryl will have to find that. And look, I think both sides are culpable here. I know one of my colleagues today was writing that Ben Simmons hasn't earned the right to sort of make these demands and get what he wants out of the deal. And at the same token, the Sixers, from the very beginning of this, when Ben was reluctant to take jump shots in his rookie season, his second season, all the way up through last season's playoffs, both sides have some culpability, some blame here. And so to your point that, look, the Sixers may have done a little damage when Doc Rivers said he didn't know if Ben Simmons was a point guard for a championship team, when Joel Embiid threw him under the bus after Ben refused to take a layup or a dunk against the Hawks in Game 6 of that series where they were eliminated. Those things didn't help Ben Simmons' trade value. And now the Sixers are fighting that because they know, other teams know, they don't believe in Ben, and Ben doesn't want to be there, and that does hurt the Sixers' chances to get the most out of the trade that they want.
Is there a possible deal that makes sense to you for both sides? You hear Golden State brought up, Minnesota brought up, I heard Portland brought up today, deals with all sorts of different players. Somebody threw one out with Draymond Green, another with C.J. McCollum. Is there anything that makes sense to you? Because I think another interesting aspect of this is that a lot of times in these situations, a franchise like, just give us young players and picks. But, as previously stated, Philadelphia wants to win now. I'm sure they'll take a young player and some picks, but they want somebody who can help Joel Embiid this season.
they're probably not going to get the, I don't see it happening, the equal all-star to Ben Simmons in this deal. Now, that may end up happening when the deal that you're talking about, look, is there some sense to be made if Damian Lillard wanted out of Portland to work something out? Maybe you saw it was maybe a potential three-team trade where John Wall ended up in Portland, Ben Simmons in Houston, and then Damian in Portland. But there's no indication that Damian is making that push to get out of Portland, and he seems to be willing to give Chauncey Billups and some of the roster changes a chance there. You mentioned Minnesota. I just don't think that the Timberwolves have the assets that Daryl Morey is looking for right now, even if it includes D'Angelo Russell. And so that's a sticking point right there. Golden State, to me, I think makes some sense, but if you're going to talk about playing Ben Simmons at the four as sort of that point forward, you know, where does that leave Draymond Green? I'm not sure that the Warriors are willing to trade Draymond just yet in that scenario, because I think they want to see how it plays out with James Wiseman, with Steph, when Clay gets back, and then obviously Draymond, and see if they can't make a run out with that core group that's been there for so long. So really, Gary, I'm having a hard time looking at it. And then you have a big dollar amount on Ben's contract, which also complicates things as well, because then you start to, in the NBA, salaries and trades need to match, and you start needing to add up a lot of dollars to make that work.
Talking to Jeff Zilgit from USA Today. Is this a problem for the NBA? Once upon a time, it used to be, guy's on the last year of a contract, he wants a trade, let's make it happen. Then it was 2 years left on a contract, now we've got somebody with 4 years left on the contract. I don't know that there's anything the NBA can do about it, but is it a problem for the NBA?
I don't think it's a huge problem, but I don't think that the NBA likes it. I was talking to a high-ranking league official who mentioned the very same thing that you just did, Gary. And the one I think about when it comes to this, I think when Anthony Davis started to make a little bit of noise, and again, Anthony Davis, also represented by Rich Paul, I think Anthony Davis still had 3 years left on his contract with New Orleans at the time. He played out that season, and then was traded the next, and then had 1 year left on his deal with the Lakers. So, you know, it starts to crop up earlier and earlier, but I just don't think it happens to enough players to make it such a problem that the league feels it needs to somehow address it in the next collective bargaining agreement. But going back to the beginning here, I don't think the league cares for it, and they do know that whether it's in the uniform player contract or through the collective bargaining agreement, there are mechanisms, especially financially, that harm the player. Ben Simmons isn't going to be paid as long as he's away from the team. And then in addition to that, Gary, they can also fine him in addition to withholding his salary. And so there are mechanisms there to make it really, really difficult and, you know, not very advantageous for the player to hold out for too long.
If you are Philadelphia, how do you weigh or how do you balance the opportunity to find Ben Simmons and withhold salary with getting on the wrong side of Rich Paul if you decide to go down that path?
Yeah, I think Rich understands that this is a business. In all my conversations I've ever had with Rich, whether he's maybe either been unhappy with something that I wrote or the publication wrote, Rich understands it's a business. And I think ultimately the Sixers do too. And the thing that happens in these situations, Rich, is that, or Gary, is that GMs and coaches come and go as well. Now, I know Daryl is just in his second season there, so you figure he's going to be there a little while. But I feel that they all think that, hey, this is sometimes the way it goes. And I also don't think you, I thought you were going to go this way. You know, teams don't want to be viewed as not being player friendly.
Right.
But I think if you look around the league and you know, the sort of realistic person will say, going back to your point, it's one thing if there was a year left on the deal or possibly two and you had an unhappy player. I don't think Philadelphia is being unreasonable in waiting to see and get the best deal they can. I don't feel that this is a Jimmy Butler situation that we saw in Minnesota a couple of years ago that actually sent him to Philadelphia when he was unhappy there. I think it's a little bit different, and Minnesota didn't want to be seen as that kind of place. They were trying to build with Carl Anthony Towns, and I just don't think people will look at that and say, hey, Philadelphia is not a friendly player place just because of this situation.
Talking to Jeff Zilgit from USA Today. On other topics, Sean Marks, the Brooklyn general manager, said today that if they had to play a game today, some of their players would not be available because in New York there is a vaccine mandate and you can't go in Barclays Center and play unless you're vaccinated. Do you suspect that'll all be resolved by the time it needs to be resolved?
I don't know if it will be, Gary, at all. It's not just New York, so that affects the Knicks and the Nets.
Right.
San Francisco has a very similar policy, and so that affects the Golden State Warriors. The Toronto Raptors might be a fourth team. And then we also don't know what kind of impact. As of now, Golden State's policy in San Francisco is that it only affects employees of the building or employees of the group renting or, you know, using the building that night. So it doesn't include visiting teams, but it could come a point where it does include visiting teams. And visiting teams into Golden State's Chase Center, if they don't have a vaccine, they have to show the proof of negative test, and there is additional social distancing and mask wearing in the building for performers who aren't employed by Chase Center or the Warriors. And so I'm not sure it is going to be resolved. I don't think you're going to have a 100% player vaccination. Now, the one thing real quick on that, Gary, is the league does not have a mandate. They couldn't come to terms with the players' union. It needs to be agreed upon by the players' union, and the players' union wouldn't agree to mandate vaccines. But it seems the way they're going, it's going to be an unofficial mandate because the NBA is going to, in the name of player health and safety, make it real difficult on players who aren't vaccinated. There's going to be additional testing that vaccinated players won't have to go through. There could be some separation of players who are vaccinated and players who are not vaccinated, maybe have to sit somewhere else on a team plane or in the locker room or in team meals. That's going to create some ostracizing that, again, the league is concerned about that, but they're also more concerned about having a season, keeping players healthy and safe. And so I think you're going to see some players, though, who are going to put up with those extra steps because they don't want the vaccine.
I'm wrapping up here with Jeff Zilgit from USA Today. Last thing before I let you go, we've talked about the Warriors. They announced yesterday that James Wiseman and Klay Thompson are both progressing well. Certainly indicated neither will be available to start the season. Yeah. When do we expect to see the Golden State Warriors as healthy as they can possibly be?
I would look, Gary, probably to the second half of the year.
Okay.
And see what happens. And I say second half of the year, I don't necessarily mean All-Star break. That's a little closer toward the two-thirds point of the year. So probably somewhere in January, late January, maybe just a little bit before the All-Star break, and then I'm thinking then you'll start to at least get them back, and then after the All-Star break for that playoff push, you'll start to see what this team can really do when they're all full and healthy.
That is Jeff Zilgit from USA Today. You can read him, usatoday.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Jeff Zilgit. You're terrific, brother. I appreciate your time. Thank you for being here.
Hey, take care, Gary.
All right, Jeff Zilgit from USA Today. It will be wild if one of these cities goes to a vaccine mandate that includes literally everybody who enters the building. And they say, we don't want a negative test. You have to be vaccinated. You can't come in our building. And then your
star player,
any player, but right. Yes, it would
anybody.
Obviously be a
right.
big story if it's a star player. So let's just say, you're the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
And I'm just throwing names out.
Sure. This is random.
The majority of NBA players, over 85% are vaccinated right now. I'm not sure who's not. But just for the sake of the conversation, let's say you're the Minnesota Timberwolves. Anthony Edwards has just decided he's not getting vaccinated.
Right.
And now you go to San Francisco to play the Warriors, and he can't come in the building. Like, that's not – I don't know that we'll get there because, like Jeff indicated, the NBA is making this where they're saying because we can't reach a deal with the Players Association – we can't make you get vaccinated, but we can set health and safety protocols that make it very difficult for you if you're not vaccinated. And it really is like you don't get to come in the locker room.
Testing at 6 o'clock in the morning type stuff.
Anything.
Yeah.
You know, you got to test on game day, test the day before a game.
Yeah.
You can't sit in your locker room. You got to be in like a special locker room. You can't sit with the team at a meal. You can't sit in the same part of the plane as the rest of the team. Like a lot of these guys like to get on a plane and play cards.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you can't play cards because you're unvaccinated. So you would think, even if you've got...
I would think a lot of things. I'm bewildered at this point on a lot of this. All of it is just bananas.
I mean, you start at a very basic level. You would think after you keep watching people die, that you would just be like, I'm going to get the vaccine because I don't want to die.
Right.
Like, you think it would just...
Start there.
The conversation would start and stop
The Blu-ray game on the plane.
Yeah,
how about
I just don't want to die, you know? So I'm going to get vaccinated, but like we live in a country that is like... The one thing the right and left can actually agree about right now, whether it's Joe Biden or Mitch McConnell, the one thing they can agree about is we actually had no idea we would have problems getting people vaccinated. We worried, like, will we get a vaccine?
Yeah.
Will it be effective?
Develop it.
Yeah, but, like, it never occurred to us that people would just say, no, I don't want to be vaccinated. But, like, here we are.
Here's a lifeboat.
A stupid country.
It's crazy.
But
this is going to be an NBA thing, though. I mean, we're dealing with it on Monday because we have to have everybody that goes to the media day for the Grizzlies.
Right.
You have to be vaccinated.
Sure. Good.
But they, I don't think they have to.
No, they don't have to.
Like the players,
No,
but we have to wear masks.
But their circumstances can be very difficult if they're not. At which point, to circle back to the original point, you go, all right, I don't want to be vaccinated, but I'd do anything other than have to live this life that I'm living.
Right.
Getting tested all the time, sitting in the back of a plane by myself, not being able to eat with my teammates, not being able to be in the locker room.
Right.
I just don't want to do that anymore, so sure, put a shot in my arm. You would think that's the way this goes, and I think that's the way it's going to go for most players, even most players who are unvaccinated at this moment, but I've been surprised time and time again. I've told the story before. I've got a college coach I know who told me he's got two players who are unvaccinated. This was a month ago, so they might be vaccinated now, but he said, I said, how are you going to handle that if they go into the season unvaccinated? He said, well, I'm going to tell them they're testing three times a week, 6 a.m., and he told me he had already told them that.
Yeah.
He said, you'll test at 6 a.m. They were like, coach, but last season we tested as a team at like right before practice at 2 p.m. He said, yeah, that was last season. Now you can avoid testing. You'll never have to get tested again unless you're symptomatic if you just go get vaccinated. But if you're unvaccinated, we'll test at 6 a.m. And he's like, eventually they're going to go, I don't want to get up at 5 a.m. on a Wednesday and then go get tested, come back to my dorm, have to go to classes, then go to practice. You're too exhausted.
Yeah.
You don't want to live that life. So I'll get vaccinated before I get up at 5 a.m. was this coach's approach. And the NBA has done a lot of those things, put them into place, because they can't mandate the vaccine right now. What they are allowed to do is make your life very, very difficult. And so that's what they're doing. They're making the life of unvaccinated players very, very difficult. And if there's any confusion, let the record show, I applaud them for it.
Right. Me too.
I'm anti-unvaccinated. No. Make their lives miserable.
Of course.
It's fine with me. The NFL is back, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every single week. All you have to do is make a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. So, like, let's look to this Sunday's card, Titans-Colts. You could take the Titans to win on the money line, lay the points, and then also take, say, the Colts team total under. That would be a three-leg same-game parlay bet. You can make it at FanDuel Sportsbook, which is America's number one sportsbook. It's time for you to get involved. If you're not involved, because there's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay bet, and you can lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook to get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. And if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, you can sign up today with promo code GARY to claim your 30-1 odds on either team to win the Monday night game, Philadelphia versus Dallas. It's promo code Gary, G-A-R-Y, at FanDuel Sportsbook, which is the official partner of Odyssey and this station. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund, $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. When we come back, the autopsy has been completed on Gabby Petito. The FBI has confirmed it is the body of the 22-year-old who was from Long Island. I'll get you updated on everything you need to know about that story next. Scary Parish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Baseball is back. and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Playing blackjack versus death gun on the card dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the card dealer. Last temptation of Mike, but I'm a card ticker. Tell me as a bob that the guard...
Jeff Cock is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock. Top it up with him then, but right now I got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four stories at 4:44. Brought to you by Delta Dental of Tennessee. Covering your smile. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's four notable stories at 4:44. Story number one.
The death of Gabby Petito has been initially declared a homicide as an autopsy positively identified the body found at a Wyoming national park as that of the missing Long Island native, the FBI said earlier today. So, no surprise, we've known where this was going for a while. When they found the body on Sunday, there was all indications that it was her. And now it is confirmed to be that, and it is ruled a homicide. The ruling will be updated when the final autopsy is completed, but a homicide is described as, for these purposes, it means someone caused the death of another individual. And those charges can range from a murder to manslaughter, to negligent homicide. There was no announcement today about a cause of death, but the homicide ruling by definition means that they believe someone caused her death. And obviously the not official suspect, but certainly in the court of public opinion, just applying common sense, the person believed to have caused her death is her fiancé, yeah. Brian Laundry, who is still presumably either on the run or dead.
Yeah.
But, you know, the subject of...
he's probably the guy they're looking for.
A search.
Yeah, if they can find him.
That is ongoing. There was a report that he might have been spotted about 450 miles away in the wilderness, in the state of Florida, but it's unclear if he could have really traveled that far without a vehicle, you know, in the amount of time that he's been, quote, missing. But there was a person caught on a camera, and it does look a lot like him, and he is carrying a backpack that looks a lot like the backpack he carried in these videos. I was reading another story about this today, and one of the points this person made was that all the time, authorities are searching for missing hitchhikers. I mean, not hitchhikers, hikers. Or
sure, yeah.
People who get lost in national parks or lost in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And these are people who want to be found. Like, they're trying to be found.
Mm.
They're waving their arms and they're lighting fires. And this person's like, and we still can't find them. It's very hard. And when you're searching this amount of area and it's trees and woods and bushes and debris and creeks and lakes and ponds, you know, even when somebody wants to be found under these circumstances, it's hard to find them.
Right.
So when you got somebody who doesn't want to be found, it complicates it even more. And if it is somebody who has taken his own life in this area that is so broad, then it becomes even more complicated because now you don't have somebody moving. It's not like somebody can spot them somewhere. So I don't know that we'll never find Brian Laundry, either because he escaped or because he has taken his own life in the middle of a reserve. But as of this moment, they still have not found them, which is just sort of wild. You think in 2021, the United States of America, we're looking for somebody, we'll find that person. I mean, we found Osama bin Laden once upon a time.
Yeah.
I feel like we could find Brian Laundry if we found Osama bin Laden.
I would think so.
You think he's alive right now?
That's a great question. I think he might be dead, because I think a moving object, to your point, I think is easier to find than a dead object who may have just is not moving and is in a really low profile spot, particularly this Grand Teton area or out in the wilderness. So if I had to bet on it, I'd bet dead.
I bet dead.
Yeah.
If he's, first off, the family already told authorities they were worried he was going to hurt himself.
Right.
So start there.
Sure.
So there was signs of,
there you go,
of possible self-harm.
And he's dealing with this, what he probably did, you know.
I mean, you know, like, there's no, his only hope of ever getting away with anything was if they never find the body.
Right.
You know, once they find the body, it's game, set, match for you. And to your point, if he's alive, then he's got to move.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually he's got to get food. He's got to, like, you.
Yeah.
I would lean toward probably no longer living.
I think dead.
But who knows? I mean,
I heard you and Jeff talking about this yesterday, and dead or alive, your vote was for dead, right?
I think dead.
Yeah,
I don't think we'll ever see him alive again. But again, I'm happy to be wrong.
Yeah.
Or not happy to be wrong. I'm just saying, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
But I would leave, if I had to guess one or the
dead.
Other, I would go with dead. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Does it bother you at all?
Mm-hmm.
Are you uncomfortable with the idea at all? Because I've been talking about this for a week now.
I know. It's a wild case.
In fairness, if you don't mind, I feel like I was ahead.
You were way ahead. I listened, I think, an hour on this maybe at the very beginning.
I was way ahead of the rest of the nation.
You were early.
On this.
Yeah,
I was at least a day early.
You invested your audience, I will say that, because you are my source on this one.
I'm an expert on this case.
You've read everything.
Does it bother you at all that the only reason this case is getting as much attention as it gets is because she's a pretty, young, blonde, white woman? Because that is the truth.
Yes, it does bother me a little bit.
We're all consumed with this.
Mm-hmm.
If she looked a different way, we wouldn't be. We just wouldn't be. How about this? Charles Fishman sent me this because he and I were texting back about it earlier today.
Yeah.
He said that between 2011 and 2020, so a year period, roughly a decade, 710 Native American women went missing in the state of Wyoming, the same state where Gabby Petito went missing. You don't know any of their names.
None of them.
You've never heard of any of them.
No.
But you know Gabby Petito, and you know Natalie Holloway.
Yes.
Who went missing in Aruba.
Yes.
She's pretty young,
boyfriend
blonde girl.
Thing, yeah.
It was the guy she met.
Yeah.
Is considered the person.
Well, we do it on the other hand, too, like the Casey Anthony one on the reverse side of it. People got into her because she was a...
The reason Casey Anthony became a...
An attractive woman who did something, probably.
It is wild that the way somebody looks actually determines, in many cases, whether this is a story we're interested in or not.
It amplifies it, yes.
But like that
it's sad. I think it's sad. Yeah, like you didn't hear about these other 10 women that he was talking about. Double standard.
No, let me be clear. Not 10. 710. 710 Native American
women Gary.
Have gone missing in Wyoming in the past roughly decade, and we don't know. None of them are national news.
No.
We don't know anything about any of them, but we know Gabby Petito. Why? What's the difference between her going missing in Wyoming and them going missing in Wyoming?
22-year-old pretty girl.
White and blonde.
Yeah.
That's the truth. Wasn't lost on me, even as I started talking about this and being consumed with this, that part of the intrigue, even for myself, I'll be transparent,
sure,
is that it's a pretty young girl from New York as opposed to something other than that. But regardless of how or why this becomes a massive headline covered by every network in this country, there's no denying that it has become a massive headline for every network in this country. And now, we'll wait for a final cause of death and a final ruling on that. And the next big thing that will happen, presumably, is you'll either find Brian Laundry alive or dead.
Story number two.
Green Bay Packers 35, Detroit Lions 17 last night. That was Monday Night Football. Detroit was actually leading at the half.
Yeah, they were.
And there was a guy who had the 16-leg parlay.
I heard you talking about this,
$25.
What the hell was he thinking on the last leg, man?
I can't speak to that.
Get the other legs right, and then you get that. Like, I could have said that he was going to lose that last night.
Well,
I did, actually.
For people who don't know, he had a 16-team parlay.
Yeah.
Nothing but winners. So, like, Titans to win.
All of
Bucks
them.
To win. You know, whatever. He got the first 15 right. And the last game, he had Detroit on the money line over Green Bay.
That's a bad. Out of all those good picks, you made that pick? Like, that's the thing that went through my head.
Well, in part, that is how you get it to being worth $727,000 by taking big underdogs
might have
like
been
that.
A half mil if it wasn't that, maybe?
I don't know the number.
I don't know what the number
was. But it would have been less.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was riding it. And
damn, bro.
So you know you're up against it. You're an 11.5-point
right.
underdog. You're riding the team to win straight up. That's an 11.5-point underdog. But you're up at the half.
Yeah.
Boy, what's that feeling like?
I bet at halftime that dude was juiced.
And then Aaron Rodgers got going. Packers scored 21 points in the second half. Aaron Rodgers finished 22 of 27, 255 yards, 4 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. And he let the media have it a little bit.
They did.
In the post-game press conference, that people talk a lot of BS, so it's nice to come back in here after a game like this and talk to you guys, and winked at one of the reporters. And to that, I'd say, like, whatever, you know.
Right.
I guess I'm confident I'd be exactly like Aaron Rodgers. But the truth is, nobody was being unfair.
Right.
He was garbage in week one.
He was
played
terrible.
Terribly after not touching a football much, if at all, the entire offseason. He looked like somebody who was planning on maybe retiring.
Yeah.
And people spoke about it that way, which was right. And then last night he was awesome. And so guess what people were doing this morning on the show?
Saying he was awesome.
Saying he was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. Like, some days it rains. So you say, it's raining outside.
Right.
And other days it's beautiful. You say, man, it's beautiful outside.
Yeah.
And that's what the case with Aaron Rodgers was. Like, nobody's being mean or unfair. Some days Aaron Rodgers plays poorly, like last week. And he was you know, he played poorly and people responded.
Sure.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.